Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, we're about to move to this thing we do every Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock. We call the Grand Council, but I got to tell you, brand spanking new, you might want to know this. The Grand Council is brought to you by Inspire Advisors. So Inspire Advisors, Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors, they are experts in what is known as biblically responsible investing. They can literally help you assess your investment portfolios and decide whether or not there's wokeness and anti-conservative agendas embedded in the companies that you're investing in, and then help you even find some biblically aligned alternatives. Well, Inspire Advisors has got classes coming up in this month and next, October, November, free classes where you can sit in and learn how to do retirement planning and see how these biblical principles can be applied to your investments. If you want to know more, too easy, man. Just go to their website. That's www.moneypatternwealth.com. Or you can go to our website, rightsidemedia.org, and check out our sponsors. It goes right to their link and takes you right to them. Yeah, Inspire Advisors, Paul Breyer, free classes. Sign up for it. Space is limited. Teach you all about biblically responsible investing. Yeah, and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, well, let me bring on two of my brethren in talk radio who have been doing this longer than me. From FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show, editor-in-chief for 1819 News, Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
You are indeed, loud and clear. All right, and then from up yonder in the north, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting, also says he's on other radio stations around the state, and, oh, by the way, writes for Yellowhammer, Dale Jackson, how you doing? All right, stand at ease. I pronounce a quorum. JP, hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da! Ba-da-ba-da. All right, the Grand Council being in session, I'm saying, Jeff Poor, what do you got?
Do you think it's going to work, guys? The Biden administration or the Biden regime is saying that if you critique, they're conflating, I guess, somebody somewhere out there saying the government can control the weather and conflating that with people saying people criticizing the federal response to these hurricanes as quote-unquote misinformation, as if the two are the same. Is it going to work?
So I'm not sure if I understand the question, but are you saying that the winds skip faster across a flat earth? Is that what you're saying to me?
No, so I don't know. Maybe you keep up with a guy named Alex Jones and some of these other people. Oh, yeah. They say that the federal government has created this storm just in time for the election. However, the Democratic Party has, or I say the left, let's make it more broad than that, is taking that as misinformation, and then they're putting it alongside Donald Trump saying that the Biden administration is doing a bad job at a hurricane response, saying the two are the same. Isn't that kind of creative?
So first of all, that is true conflation. That is taking two things that don't relate and bringing them together. That is literally taking the flat earth society that believes that somehow we can impact weather patterns and create hurricanes, which I don't go with. I mean, that's like James Bond, next level stuff. And the fact that FEMA might have done a bad job is totally different. They can do a bad job and it not be a conspiracy theory because you know why? Because they've done a bad job. Dale, weigh in.
Well, I think the easiest thing to do is to not have people like Marjorie Taylor Greene talking about weather machines and things like that. Not that she actually did that, but she is saying that they're controlling the weather and stuff like that. That'd be one helpful part of this, and make your criticisms, actually wise and pointed, and you'll be fine. But yes, they are going to try to make all criticism. And you saw Kamala Harris today. She was out there saying, hey, I know there's a lot of members of the media watching here. I think it's important to point out that the misinformation that people are putting out is really dangerous. And that's just a way of saying we don't like it when people talk bad about us. And the media is going to dutifully repeat that nonsense and talk about it. And those who are sane are going to have to deal with it. And it's because you just have to say, no, you suck. That's the problem.
It's what they do, though. It's part of Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. You find the target, you ridicule it, then you polarize it. This is exactly what they did with the whole thing about, if you dare to say Haitians are eating cats and dogs, which, by the way, I believe Haitians are eating cats and dogs,
then you're crazy, and that negates your ability to have any commentary about anything else. You're not allowed to say government's doing a bad job because you dared to mention that also Haitians eat cats and dogs. Jeff, it's your own question. What do you got?
Yeah, this is what they do with everything.
Yes.
If you're a part of one little, like, at one time or part of a group, then you're just the entire apparatus. It's like if one Republican protest on January 6th, and the entire Republican Party is responsible for it. This is what they got left, guys.
That's all they got left. But like I said, go read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, and you're going to find out all about it. Dale, next question. What, pray tell, do you have for the group?
Well, I hate that it's somewhat similar to all of this, but is Kamala Harris the dumbest presidential candidate that's ever existed? She's having a situation almost Joe Biden-esque where she's running around, and every time she talks, it's worse. Joe Biden's about to die. Oh, let's run him out there and see if we can get him to make some sense and everything will be fine. They run him out, and everyone's like, oh, my God, he is about to die. And then it ends up costing him his position on the ticket. Is she worse than him somehow?
Yes. She's worse than him because at least he have the excuse of dementia. But she doesn't. I just don't think she's that bright. At the very least, she doesn't think well on her feet. I tell you what's funny, though, and this is cracking me up, is it seems like every time she tries to do something, her narrative gets co-opted by Joe Biden, who says just the opposite and makes her look like an idiot and steals her thunder. Jeff?
I find her to be lazy. I mean, let's just say it like it is. She doesn't prepare.
Yes.
She doesn't want to do interviews.
Yes.
She thinks there's a sense of entitlement that she is entitled to the nomination. She doesn't even think the primary process seems like at times she thinks it's beneath her, or the entire election process, I mean, that she should just be handed the presidency, that this is not, this formality is a waste of time. And she's not willing to do the hard work. Guys, like, presidential campaigns take years to come together. You start with like an exploratory committee. You have to be together for years and years and years and years. And then all of a sudden, I say like 2-3 years, let's say. And then like they're trying to accomplish what it takes years in a matter of months. And I just don't think it's going to work.
Well, it should
work. My question, for the record, was, is she the dumbest candidate? that was my question.
I think I said yes before I went on my tirade.
Well, I said she was lazy. I don't know about dumb. I think maybe she's probably capable of figuring this stuff out. She just is too lazy to.
Well, I also think I'll say this. She comes across as dumb a lot, but she's also cagey like a fox. I mean, she is willing to take people out and do whatever's necessary to advance her own personal agenda, and we're seeing it. Left and right. Joe Biden being the classic example. All right, last question for the break. Let's stay on the Kamala Harris thing. So Kamala Harris is mad because Ron DeSantis will not take her call. He's down there dealing with the storm of the century. This is her chance to be in the limelight. Why will he not take her call? And yet DeSantis pretty much put her in her place by saying, she's been the president or vice president for 3.5 years. She has never called me once. I'm talking to the president right now. Why do I need to talk to her? Weigh in on it. Dale, you first.
Well, I think it also became out that she didn't actually make the phone call until after, like, there was complaints.
Really?
For Artie's. Oh, yeah, I had heard that. That may be misinformation or, you know, just a lie that I want to tell. It's possible. I don't actually know. I did hear that. But either way, if she's calling and just wanting to play president as DeSantis said, that's really, really stupid. Back to my previous question. And I really, if Kamala Harris was any good at what she's doing or her handlers were, you know what they would say? They'd be like, look at what Ron DeSantis is doing. This is why Trump hates this guy. Like that's what they should be doing. Just politically, just toss some red meat right in the middle there and let those guys go at it for a little bit. But no, she's instead bumbling and letting DeSantis just completely destroy her.
Jeff.
Yeah, I agree with that. She's trying to appear presidential, I guess. I don't know. They had a big conference call today, and she was in on it. But historically, guys, I mean, when George H.W. Bush said heck of a good job, Brownie, did Dick Cheney take any of the fallout? I mean, the vice president is not equipped to handle or be dealing with these things in that role. It's just kind of a weird way of her pushing herself to the forefront.
Well, it also contradicts her message that Joe Biden is still large and in charge. if she's down there sort of co-opting his space and getting into his battle rhythm where she's not usually, you know, in line, she's not a commander-in-chief. She's not, you know, the head person. She has already touted Joe Biden as being the guy who's in charge. So for her to jump in there to do this is nothing more than a soundbite opportunity, and it's very visible. I mean, you could see it. It's like this is a tangible effort on her part to just get her name out there, and she just basically stepped on the rake, and it's really pretty funny. All right, round one. That went fast. Round one, Grand Council, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and just little old me. You guys stand by. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. All right, we're back for round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. I think I said Jeff Poor was first. So, Jeff, what you got?
Aldott strikes again, but it's a bigger picture. Gordo, Alabama, and Pickens County, kind of between Columbus, Mississippi, and Tuscaloosa, they're building the Gordo Bypass. Now, state law says that you have to post these legal advertisements announcing a bid twice before opening or conducting the bid. And it turns out one of these newspapers messed up and didn't print it, but Aldott went ahead along with the process. Now they got to redo the process.
Oh,
and for whatever the reason, $2 million is the price tag on the air. Will this be the straw that breaks the camel's back on the stupid, antiquated legal advertising regime we have in Alabama?
Wait, I'm catching up on this. So you're saying that it's a $2 million price tag to have to redo it?
Yeah, for a bunch of different reasons, logistically, cost of stuff. So the Aldott claims $1.76 million, but others are saying it's going to be way more.
Well, they're going to have to. We modified it some while I was there, but it's time for it to be completely modified. The notice systems that go out now are they're rooted in, like, you know, late 19th century, early 20th century, you know, newspaper and posting on the town crier's board. Kind of stuff. And so, if that's the case, especially if a gaffe like this. Now, by the way, if the gaffe happened because the newspaper didn't do its job, somebody needs to be talking to that newspaper about this $1.7 million price tag. Just saying. Dale?
Lawmakers are afraid of newspapers. This is a graft. This is a scam. This is an abomination before God. Nick Saban would be rolling over in his grave. It is absolutely wrong. And they need to stop this. You guys did not go far enough because your colleagues are cowards and they are afraid of the newspaper writing something bad about them when the newspaper is going to do it anyway. You are a supermajority Republican state. Burn those newspapers to the ground.
We put a lot of this stuff in online capability, which is where, you know, most of the – I mean, by the way, it's amazing, too, the number of handshake deals that happen wink, wink, nod, nod in small towns to give all the revenue for these local, you know, these local runs to a certain, you know, small-town tome that's no longer good for anything.
Listen. John Merrill said that his office could handle this at very little cost, and he'd be more than happy to take all of this on to save the money, and they still wouldn't do it.
I don't doubt it. The Newspaper Association probably went down there and raised Cain. So Jeff, to your question, I think this better be one of the things they talk about if it costs $1.7 million to the taxpayer.
They gotta do away with this Alabama Press Association's like monopoly. You know, like none of us can ever be a member of it. They're protective of their turf. I don't know if you guys read local newspapers in the state. I might be the only one here, but
online.
The ones that aren't online, they're not political. They don't even. I doubt the reporters can even tell you who their stupid state senator is. So I think this like fear that they're gonna these House members and senators are gonna get burned if they go against the stupid antiquated legal and advertising system.
Well, and
is unfounded.
And let's be honest, a lot of them are not even being run from the hometown anymore. I mean, the Gadsden Times right now has two employees. They used to have an entire block in downtown Gadsden filled with employees, having their own presses, doing all the things, and they literally have two employees now, one reporter who works part-time and one guy who serves as the editor, and that's the Gadsden Times now. And a lot of it gets printed in Tuscaloosa and then sent in. It's unreal. But it's the only cash revenue source that some of these have because they don't have subscription base hardly anymore.
Sucks to suck.
Well, 18-19 news and people like you and Yellowhammer, y'all. That's the wave of the future right there. But all right, next question before we run out of time, Dale Jackson.
All right, Jeff kind of stole mine, so I'm kind of gonna go in a different direction. Did you guys know, attaboy to the state of Alabama, it's not really a question. Did you guys know that there were all these people leaving the state every time there's a hurricane? Task Force 3, Gunnersville police, fire departments from Foley, Decatur guys. I had no idea we were sending stuff everywhere we go. Do we pay for that?
Sometimes the Southern Company, you'll have Alabama-based linemen for Alabama Power, but they are all Southern Company employees, and they go left and right. State assets like state troopers and National Guard, I think there's a state compact between states to share the cost and the burden of doing it and an agreement to be there and provide assistance. So I don't know how the cost is truly borne, but at the same time, if we don't do it and then we need it later, would they send it to us if we didn't help out? So, Jeff.
Yeah, I that's my understanding that there's some kind of an agreement between the states and that when this happens, then you send yours, and then when you have the problem, we'll send ours. And we've had this happen during a real bad hurricane, like probably since 2020 with Hurricane Sally.
Yeah.
But they do send stuff from out of state, so I think it's part of an agreement.
So for a period of time in the National Guard, I was assigned to what was known as the DOMS, the Domestic Operations Group, and the DOMS group. They literally had state compacts. They had to renew them annually, make sure that everything was still up to date, points of contact all in place. But these state compacts were like agreements between states. If you get hurt, we're there. If we get hurt, you're there. All right, we got about a minute and a half, so let me just not even that much. How much do I have? 30 seconds? That all I got? Okay, here's the bottom line. Voting in hurricane zones, is it going to be impacted or not a big deal? Jeff and then Dale.
I don't know that it's a big deal. I'm wishful thinking, but I feel like it won't be that big of a deal.
They'll whine about it, but it's easy. If you want to vote, go vote. It's not that hard. We've got this figured out. Stop whining.
And I'll say, too, North Carolina, they actually got very legislatively busy, and they made it available for everybody to vote in alternative means real quick because of the hurricane. All right. Appreciate you. Jeff Poor, 1819 News and FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile. Dale Jackson, Cumulus Broadcasting and Yellowhammer News. And little old me, the Grand Council. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.